I join with Randy in welcoming you all here tonight. Glad to see you all, and Lord willing, we will together stand up for Jesus. A great song, great introduction to our lesson tonight, and I'll just get right into that lesson with you. The lesson itself is entitled, Finding Strength in God. And that's exactly what we want to talk about. There are many amazing stories expounding on so many in the Bible from the Old Testament through the New Testament that they found their strength in God. They were able to do things in the face of death, in the face of trials and tribulation, but they were always standing up for their faith in God. And you know, when we consider the benefits, you know, what happened to those who knew their God? Well, when we read in the book of Daniel chapter 11, and you might want to open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, because we'll be looking there a little bit tonight. But in Daniel 11:32, at the end of the verse, we read these words, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." And that's exactly what we want to expound on tonight. You think of David and Solomon in 1 Chronicles. "As for you, my son Solomon," David said, "know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Think about the words of Jeremiah. Very familiar words. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." That's who it is that gives us strength. Jesus says it is written in the prophets that they all shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. John chapter 6, verse 45. When we find strength in God, it's because we've learned about God. In Hebrews chapter 8 and at verse 11, "None of them shall teach his neighbor and none of them his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." Jesus himself again said, and this is eternal life, "that they may know you." That's the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Think of that, John 17 and 3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you." When we find God, when we know God, when we seek him and we find him, we're going to find strength in God. We will be able to do anything that is set before us. There will be no mountain too high, no valley too low, no river too wide. When we seek God and we find strength in God, nothing can come between us and victory. Nothing. And I want you to dwell on that a little bit tonight with me. Think about what Jesus says. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." In Hebrews 8:11 again, "None of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest." Nothing will come between us. This is eternal life, to know God. It seems so simple, and it is. "Seek him and he shall be found." You'll know God by searching the scriptures. And one of the things that happens when we are finding our strength in God is we become so strong that we can take a stand. We can take a stand against anything. Nothing gets in our way. God always has required His people to be strong. Look with me in the book of Joshua, and let's read what Joshua had to say. And when we see this, I want you to realize how important it is. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance in the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the things, all of the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have... Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we know about Joshua. We know that Joshua faced many, many obstacles, and especially he faced the problems of dealing with God's people. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 5. Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge." Paul tells us the important things in Ephesians chapter 6 about the full armor of God. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14. Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel." We need to stand for truth, and we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. And listen, when we do that, in Christ, in the Word, looking, strengthening ourselves through our knowledge of God, nothing can stop us. And what, you know, John wrote that love has been perfected among us, that in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Think of that. Jesus, our King, our leader, our Master, the guide of light, He had great boldness in dealing with the people. He dealt with their rebuke. He dealt with their trickery. He dealt with their hatred. Jesus had great boldness. Not one time that I can imagine reading did Jesus leave because the people were too strong. The people were too forceful. He stood up against all the wiles of the devil. Every piece of trickery that the people had, Jesus stood bold. And another thing is, when we are finding strength in God, then we're a people who know our God and we become a people of prayer. Right? We think of that. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through Jesus Christ." Our hearts are guarded through that peace of God, through our understanding, through finding strength in God. And again, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, pray without ceasing. That's the people of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's what we are, people of God, a people of prayer. Our strength comes at a time when we are in prayer. Look at Daniel chapter 6 with me now. Verses 4 and 5. Daniel 6, verses 4 and 5. Here it is. And we've read about Daniel, I'm sure, many times. But in verse 4 and 5, it says, "So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" And as we, you know, we begin to open that up and we realize how, what happened in Daniel chapter 6 and at verse 7, all the governors of the kingdom, administrators and satraps and counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god other or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. What do you suppose Daniel did? Bottom line is there was no room in Daniel's heart for any kind of reasoning. Daniel didn't have to sit down and go, "Well, let me think about this. What's going to happen if I pray to my God? Boy, what should I do?" That's not what he did. He stood up and he stood in the face of those governors and satraps and counselors. There was no reason for him to think about it. He was the one who found his strength in God. Nowhere else. That's where his strength was. There was no room. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Daniel chapter 9. "Then I set my face towards the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, 'O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments.'" That's where David's mind was. His mind was in the God of creation. His mind was in the loving God. He calls this God the, "O Lord, great and awesome." You see, he's finding strength in God himself. Strength to stand up against the satraps, the counselors. Having strength to stand up against the king. And he did. And listen, when we do pray, we have that strength in God. Prayer develops a strength in us. When we pray, it guards our minds and our hearts. That's what Paul said. With all prayer and supplication, the Spirit being watchful to the end, perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It guards our hearts and minds. Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 8, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." That is the attitude that they had. They, They didn't question, should I or shouldn't I? If somebody tells me I shouldn't, that never happened. Next, you think of people. People who know their God are people of faith. People of faith. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Because of his faith, he was raised up in the minds of the king and others because he chose to do what was right in the sight of his God. And you know what happened when that took place? Darius, the king at that time, he began to respect Daniel's God. I make a decree in every dominion over and every kingdom, men must tremble and fear before God, he said. That's the king that was going to have everybody else killed. He must tremble before God, for he is the living God and the steadfast forever. And his kingdom, one which shall not be destroyed, he has dominion, shall endure to the end. That is who we're talking about. Look at Daniel 4, verse 17. It tells us that God rules in the kingdom of all men. And, of course, we know we have to be a people of faith because without faith, we're doomed. And listen, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that we execute, and it drives us to do the things that we normally would not be able to do. Daniel's faith was like that. Daniel didn't see God, but he knew his God, and he found strength in his God, and it was able him to be able to have that kind of faith that was the substance, the evidence of things not seen. It's a wonderful thing. And again, faith overcomes many obstacles. Faith overcomes our fear. Pure fear. And when you think of, in Acts chapter 27, there were men on a boat and the boat's going to sink and they're all wanting to jump off, but Paul tells them, no, stay on the boat. My God really made a promise to me, right? He says, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he said, as he told me. In other words, you're not going to perish if you stay on the boat. And they listened. They could have jumped. They could have ignored the idea of Paul's faith, but they didn't. And they were saved. Even the fear of death can be overcome by a people of faith who find their strength in God. And when you think about that ship that those men were on, if their faith was only in the captain, if their faith was only in the steward, if their faith was only in each other, they would have thrown Paul overboard. They didn't. Paul knew about faith. He is able to keep what I have committed to him until this day. And that's true of every single one of us. If we find our strength in our God, he will be able to keep what we have committed to him to this very day. Now we also see that the people of God they find so much strength in him that they are able to obey God regardless of the consequences. Now, as we look at this, I want you to apply these principles into your life. Obeying God regardless of the consequences means that you choose to follow God rather than family. You choose to follow God rather than your job. You choose to follow God rather than anything else in this world. Because the consequence of doing so means eternal life in heaven with God. The consequence of not doing so means eternal damnation separated from God. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Going back a little to Daniel chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. 10 and 11. So, you, O king, Nebuchadnezzar, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Consequence. You know, David didn't sit down and reason this out, and neither did his three friends, which we'll look at here in a second. But we obey God regardless of the consequence. Is obeying God going to mean I'm going to lose my life and I obey God and give up my life? That's what Jesus said, isn't it? He who saves his life loses his life, and he who loses his life for my sake shall save it. The consequence isn't the issue. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. What did they answer? Go to chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I love this answer. They ignored the consequence. It doesn't matter. I find strength in my God, not in you, O king. What did they answer? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I don't have to sit down and think about it. My strength is in my God. I don't need to work this out in my mind. I don't have to reason anything out. I don't even need to answer you. If that's the case, if you're going to throw me in the fiery furnace because I don't kneel down and worship you, if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Think about that. And when you go through verses 19 through verse 30, what do we see? He was full of fury, the king. The expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them and to cast them into the fiery furnace. And so they didn't care about the consequence. They found strength in God, not in the king, not in their flesh. They made that furnace so fiery hot that it killed the men who took them there. And those three men fell down, bound in the midst of that fiery furnace. And then something astonishing happened. Verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered, yes, to the king. It's true. And he says, look, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Finding strength in God means that God is walking with you. He's always with you. Think of Paul's boldness in dealing with Onesimus, on behalf of Onesimus. Paul's boldness as he speaks in a place where he was told not to speak. And the three friends here, if that's the case, God's able to deliver us from that burning furnace. And if not, we still won't serve you. No brainer. I find my strength in God. Then, when we find strength in God, it strengthens us not to compromise. You consider Moses. Remember Moses. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 26. And Moses, the darkness comes upon the earth. And finally, Pharaoh says, okay, fine, you go out in the wilderness, you worship your God, but leave these things here. Some of the animals and their possessions. And Moses said, no. No compromise. We know what we need to worship our God, and we need to take these things with us. There's a lot of reason to fear Pharaoh if you're just a man and you have no faith and strength and no in God. But if your strength is in God, you don't fear Pharaoh or his army or anybody. Consider Joshua. And how important, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. The gods of your fathers, whom they served, were on the other side of the river. You can serve those gods. That's up to you. The Amorites, in whose land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No brainer. What about Paul? You consider Paul. He didn't yield to the false brethren who came in by stealth and wanted to spy out his liberty as he's talking to the Galatians and dealing with the problems there. They wanted to bring him into bondage. Paul just said, I didn't submit to them even an hour. And what of Job? He's giving a defense for himself. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No compromise. If God's going to take me, God will take me. If the fiery furnace is going to take me, the fiery furnace is going to take me. If you Jews are going to take me by force, then you're going to take me. No compromise. I know my God. And I will defend my own ways before him. That's what Job said. And the strength that we find in our God, that will enable us to make time for worship. I didn't just throw that in there because it's so important. It's there because it is so important. You notice in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, Daniel made time for his worship and he kept it. Right? He went home, he went to his upper room, his windows were open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down and prayed three times a day that day, and he prayed and gave thanks to God before his God. And he did that because he always made time, three times a day, for God. What about Jesus and the devil? Right? That devil wants him to be worshipped again. The devil took him on that exceedingly high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of all the earth and all their glory, and he says, "All these things I will give you if you just fall down and worship me." What did Jesus say? Right, away with you, Satan, for it is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Revelation chapter 2, or 22. Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9. Revelation 22, 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am a fellow servant and of your brethren and prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God only." You see that? Worship God only. And of course, we're required to worship in spirit and truth. Is it possible to worship in vanity or vain? Yes, it is. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, they worshiped him in vain. We find our strength in God and we worship according to the commandments of God, not the way of the world, not our feelings and emotions. We speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We do that together, Ephesians 5 and 19. Then finding strength in our God means that we will be bold. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, boldness of Daniel, boldness of Paul. Right? Paul was facing death in Ephesus. And he was bold. Peter, boldness on the day of Pentecost, preaching to the very people that shouted, "Crucify him." Boldness. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, love perfects. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, John writes, in the day of judgment, because he is, so also are we in this world. Boldness is a great benefit of finding strength in God. Finally, that is, in our God, we will find purpose in our hearts to do what is right. Right? Daniel 1 and 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed in his heart. You remember Paul's admonition, no temptation is overtaking you such what is common to man, but God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's what happened with Daniel. That's what happened with Paul. That's what happened with Peter. So many of the saints before us. We, with purpose of heart, will continue in the Lord. Remember that the grace that will gladden our hearts, that's continuing in the Lord. It'll encourage us continuing in the Lord, that with purpose of heart, we continue in the Lord. Acts 11 and 23. So I hope that helps you. I hope it's encouraging you. It's so important, the song before the lesson that we sang, Stand Up for Jesus, it exemplifies that very fact. You soldiers of the cross, lift high his high, mighty banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory to victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Wonderful words. They can only apply to us if we find our strength in the Lord. Make all the decisions that you make based upon your love for God. Purpose in your heart to not defile him. Purpose in your hearts to follow him. To put him first in every aspect of your life. Every choice that we make. And God will be glorified. And you one day will be lifted up off the face of this earth and be with God forever. Do you have a need this night? Whether that need is for prayer or whether that need is to be baptized, whatever need you have, please don't hesitate at all. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.